Hey, I'm Anna.
I'm Daisy.
Welcome to Becoming Mama, our safe space podcast all about navigating parenthood and doing it your way.
Enjoy the episode, guys.
Hey guys, welcome back to Becoming Mama, or if this is your first time listening, then welcome. It's so nice to have you here.
This is a completely safe space for parents to come and listen where there is absolutely no judgment. We basically just get a different mum on every week and have a chat and open up some honest conversations about things around motherhood that we feel aren't talked about enough to hopefully make you feel less alone.
I can't believe that we're recording episode 20, which is actually going to be the last episode of this season. We've had some amazing mums come on who've shared their honest account of motherhood along with their stories and advice, and we've loved recording it.
Yeah, we're so happy that we just decided to go for it and start the podcast, because it was something we were talking about for so long, and then one day we were like, should we just do it? And we kept like pushing it back and back, but we're just so happy we went for it, and we've had such good feedback from you guys, so thank you so, so much for all the support.
For our last episode, we decided to do something a little bit different. So we asked you guys to send in your questions to us and our partners, because we thought it'd be interesting for you to hear things from their point of view as well.
It's so exciting. So we're going to start just with some questions for Anna and I, and then we'll move on and get the boys in because they want to watch the football. And so we're going to have to cut them down to one section. And so let's get straight in with the first question for us, which is, have you always wanted to be a mum? So we can both answer this one. Anna, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I think, like, I know that I've always known that I've wanted to be a mum. Like, it's all I've ever wanted. I mean, before I had Flo, I loved work. So I used to, for anyone who doesn't know, I used to work at like a big commercial gym, and I worked there as a personal trainer, and then I left there after a few years and set up my own studio. And I mainly trained pre and postnatal women, and I loved doing it. Like, I loved work, but I always knew that I wanted to be a mum. And I guess when I met Charlie, it was just something that I knew I wanted soon. I don't know. I feel like I knew that I wanted him to be the father of my child, 12 children. And I just, yeah, like it happened really quickly.
I was about to say that. You jumped into it, didn't you, in a way?
We did. I don't know. It was like we just clicked straight away. We got on so well. And I just knew, like they say, when you know, you know. And I just knew with him. And it was like we talked about kids really early on, like on, I don't know, the second or third date or something. Like, we started talking about kids. And I just, like, really wanted to have a baby. And, yeah, it was something I'd always wanted, but it never felt like the right person or the right time. But suddenly when I met him, I was just like, this is what I want. And yeah, we both wanted it, and it happened really quickly. And so we hadn't been together long. I don't know how long we'd been together when we got pregnant with her, but like less than a year. So it was really quick. But I can't explain it other than it just felt really right. And it was something I'd always wanted, I'd always dreamed of. Like I said, I loved my career, but I knew that I wanted to be a mum. And yeah, I mean, I love it. I literally love it. It's the hardest, but just the most incredible thing. Nothing I could say to you, like, would explain how amazing being a mum feels.
I have a question. Just what hearing you say that, I've come up with a question in my head. Yeah. Isn't it what you imagined it would be, motherhood?
I feel like it's harder, but also better than I imagined it would be. I think I really didn't think it would be as hard as it is.
Yeah, you just can't know. Can you? You have no idea what you're doing.
You don't understand why people, like, before you become a mum, you don't understand why mums obsess over like sleep or nap schedules or just, yeah, like anything like that, because you just don't get it. And then you become a mum and you're just like, oh my God, like, you know what it's like when they don't sleep, when they're overtired, when they're overstimulated. It's just like your whole world then revolves around them. Yeah, I don't think I thought it would be as hard as it is, but I also don't think I like realized just how amazing it would be. I think everyone tells you, don't they, like, just how incredible it is and how the love you feel for your child is like nothing you'll ever experience. But then it takes, I'm sure you agree, like, actually becoming a mum yourself, you just realize the extent of what people mean by that. Like, you could never put it into words, could you?
No. And I think in recent weeks there's been, obviously, I'm sure everyone who's listening to this will know who I'm talking about when I say that Azalea, the beautiful baby who passed away the other week, has just she's been like in everyone's minds nonstop, because I think watching her story, I honestly still watch the Instagram stories of her parents now that she's passed away, and they're sort of seeing like signs from her in the sky and stuff, and all of it, it literally hits me like a ton of bricks just watching it, because you just instantly relate it to your child, and it's like this like primal feeling, isn't it, of like thank God Savannah's healthy, and I cannot physically imagine what they're going through. And you're right, you just become obsessed and an absolute like protection and awe of your child, and you can't imagine living without them. So it's something you could never explain unless you have a child.
I think that's such a good point. It's such a sad story about that beautiful little girl, and that her parents are so, so strong. I think like, even if you weren't a mum, like for anyone listening to their story, it's going to hit you, and it's just going to be just heartbreaking. What about you, Daisy? Have you always wanted to become a mum?
100%. I think for my situation, it was lucky that I'd always wanted to become a mum, because I actually have a few friends who still to this day, they're like our age, and they would say that they just don't want to become mums. And a lot of women feel that way, and that's totally their, you know, their prerogative. But I always had wanted to, and I was glad when I found out that I was pregnant that I had, because it meant that I think, although I did react with like complete shock and I wasn't ready, it was just a case of not being ready. It wasn't that like I didn't want to be a mum in general. So I mean it probably helped me adjust quicker. And I know that within a couple of weeks I was kind of saying like, I mean my mum was saying to me like, look, you were born to become a mum. Like, our family, I have three younger sisters and we're so close, and it's just like a family of girls who are obsessed with babies and like family. So I always knew I was going to have my own kids, and I think it just helped so much.
I was going to say, like, I've known you for like 10 years and I feel like you are such a maternal person. Like, you know those people you meet and you're like, you are such a, I don't, like a maternal person, I guess that's like the best way to describe it. Like, you're caring and you're understanding and you've got all the qualities of being a mum. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, you know when you meet people and you're just you'll make a really good mum. Like, I've always thought that about you.
Oh my God, that's so, you've never said that to me before. I love that. I mean, I would say the same about you, but it's making me laugh because I'm thinking like, would you have said that back when we were 18 and we were out drunk in the middle of the club? I don't know, but
obviously like our lives have changed so much, but I feel like the qualities you have, I would have just always would have said like, you'll be an amazing mum someday. And obviously it's happened earlier than you've thought, you know, like you might have planned it to happen, but I really feel like you were just made to be a mum.
So are you. 100%. I mean, look at us, we are literally sitting here on a mum podcast that we own. I think we are meant to be mums. Oh, it's so funny.
Right, next question that someone sent in. So we were asked, do you feel like it's harder going into work or being a stay-at-home mum? And actually, this is a good question because obviously both of us, like Daisy works part-time, she works in PR, mixture of working from home, and you have to travel into London sometimes, don't you, as well? And I am a full-time stay-at-home mum. I sold my old business, like left all of that, and just I'm just at home with Flo all the time, so it's completely opposite sides to it, so it'll be good. What do you think, Daisy? How do you find being a working mum and balancing that?
I agree that I love this question. It's so interesting. We were saying before that we also, because we talk all day every day and we know the ins and outs of each other's lives, I know from, I can see Anna's struggles as a stay-at-home mum and she can see my struggles as a working mum. So it's so interesting because there's such different struggles, but we like, you can understand them so much, but you know, dealing with similar things at home in some ways. So I think for me, the struggles being a working mum are the obvious things. Like when I first started to go back to work, especially when I first started going back to the office when COVID allowed last year, I just missed her like crazy. And I felt the mum guilt I felt was through the roof, because you feel like the second you get on that train and you're like heading away from your child, you feel like it's the most unnatural feeling. I even had it today, I'll be honest. I got on the tube today, I had to go in today, and she's at nursery. I know she's happy. I know she's with her friends and she doesn't even know where I am, and that's fine. But I still was looking at pictures of her the entire way there and the entire way home and just could like thinking, I can't wait to get back to her, because there's something funny about being in London and getting on with like a normal working day and having meetings and talking to adults, that just every like hour or so I'd have it pop into my head that like, there's another place that I should be, and that's with her. And I think that would never go away for me. Like, I'll probably work, you know, for the next 10, 20 years, whatever it is. And no matter what, even if she's at school and she's 10 years old, I'm probably going to think, you know, oh, but my daughter's not with me. And I don't know if you've, I bet, Anna, this is where it gets interesting. I bet you, being a stay-at-home mum, you probably understand that feeling. I know when you've had to literally leave Flo with your mum for 10 minutes, you get the same feeling, don't you? Where you feel like they should be next to you.
I find it really hard, because especially being with her all the time, like I love being a stay-at-home mum, but I also do find some parts of it really hard. Like, I find it hard never getting a break. And then it's like, I could choose to take a break and like get someone to look after her for a bit, or, you know, if I really wanted to, I could put her in nursery. This is something we were talking about a few months ago, and I was like, oh, I just feel like I need a break. I want to put her in nursery. And then I kind of haven't done that yet, because then we have a day which is like fine and easier. It's just, I find it hard not being able to have a break, but then I also find it really hard to actually take a break. I think because I'm with her all the time, I have separation anxiety from her. I think we always talk about it with kids, you know, like we say for them, it's going to be hard for them adapting to go into nursery or to go into a childminder or things like that, when really they adapt so quickly. And actually, I think a lot of it is on me. I think because being with her every day is all I know, even though sometimes I find it so draining, just the day of just like,
I know,
there's just so much to do. It's just like getting her up, changing her nappy, having like making her breakfast, cleaning up breakfast that she'll throw on the floor, on the walls, then going to an activity group. That's the thing as well. We do lots of things. I feel like because she doesn't go to nursery, I kind of have that like, I want her to go to groups and to experience like the social side of things. And I guess, you know, do the kind of like messy play and activities and stuff that she would be doing if she was in a setting like that. So I feel like I sometimes put a lot of pressure on actually going to these groups. I mean, sometimes I feel like they're for me as well, like just being able to get out the house and talk to other mums, and they break the day up. But I just find it hard because there's no break time. Like, my lunch break is like literally when she's down for a nap. And then, you know, you're like, oh, hopefully I have 2 hours. But most of the time I'm lucky if I get an hour and a half. And then it's just doing all the things that you can't do when they're running around you. I don't know. I just feel like I find it hard in the way that there's no break. But I guess with parenting, there just isn't, you know, it doesn't end at 7 p.m. It's like it's 24 hours a day.
I completely understand that. And also, being someone who works part-time, I have Thursdays and Fridays and weekends with Savannah for the full day. And so the things that you're just saying, I totally understand. Like, you, for me, I don't take her to the classes and stuff. So I find it, the big thing for me is that it's really monotonous. Like, you get up, like you said, you make the breakfast, you make the lunch, you make the dinner, you clean, you clean, you clean, you organize, you tidy, you clean. Like, it's just constant. And then they have a tantrum, and then you know that you've got to take them for a walk. And then I just feel like but those things have to happen because it's their routine, and they have to have a routine.
Yeah.
And parenting never ends, so you can't not do any of it. So that's exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, there's
and like I said, like I love being at home with her, and I think it's such a privilege to be able to be. But at the same time, like, I think it's fine to say it's really hard. Like, it's really hard. And then when people kind of say, oh, are you a stay-at-home mum? Or I don't know, I feel like there is still a bit of a stigma around it. Like, it's not a job, when really I mean I worked really hard before I had her. Like, I'd be up at 4:35 most mornings, starting at 5:36 most mornings to train clients before they'd go into the city. And like, I'd opened up my own personal training studio. I was working really hard, really long hours, but I couldn't compare that to what I'm doing now. But it's just in a completely different way, you know, like even when you're having a really hard day, it's not the same as a hard day in my previous job, if that makes sense. It's like, you don't get paid in money, but you get paid in just like smiles and hugs and just seeing them do something for the first time. And for right now, I feel like this is kind of my calling, I guess. Yeah. I think as well, what I find, another thing that I find hard is that, I mean, it's like, it's not a job, but it is a job, like obviously being at home with her. But I feel like because Charlie is working and actually having to go into work and being face to face with adults, it's like in the nights and things, like if I hear her stirring or if I know that I need to go in, like I will just go in straight away because I know that he has to go to work. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, I totally get it. And like you said, it's nonstop and it doesn't end. So when you're feeling really upset, when you're feeling stressed and upset, there's no one there to help you because it's your job to look after the child. So you could, I find like when I'm at home sitting with Savannah and she's having a tantrum, sometimes I just cry because you don't know what, you're so frustrated and you feel like you just, you don't know what to do, but it's your job to be like the big boss in that situation. You can't sit there and cry all day because the baby needs you. So there's so much emotional like mess that comes with being a mum as well, especially when you're alone all day. And then like you say, you're putting up with the night shift as well, because not Charlie's fault, but you know, you feel like you need to do that too. So it's just like, how can anyone think that being a stay-at-home mum isn't hard, you know?
Yeah, those days where you just feel like everything's on top of you, they're having a really hard day themselves, and you know it's just because they're having all these big feelings can't communicate to you, but really it just feels like a day of just tantrums and like everything that you could have been thrown on the floor, and just like refusing their nap or having a really short nap and then knowing that you've got a really long afternoon ahead with loads of meltdowns because they're so tired. It's just, it's not having that like adult interaction, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like however you do it, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a working mom or a part-time working mom or a from-home working, you know, whatever, we are all just making our way through the same, you know, crazy situation. And it's whatever works for you, works for you. It depends what situation you're put in, doesn't it? It's so different for every mom.
Being a mom is just really hard work. I mean, it's the best, most important work you'll ever do, but it's really hard work. So it's just...
Okay, next question. So this question is for you, Anna, and it's very relevant because you're about to have baby number two. So is there anything you would do differently this time around?
See, that's a really good question. I mean, I feel like with your first baby, I've said it before, but you just have no idea what it's going to be like until they're here, do you? You can read every book, you can like think you're as prepared as can be, and then they get her and you're just like, oh my god. It's like when they first tell you like you're discharged from the hospital and you just think, oh my god, with them on my own. This time round, even in the pregnancy, I'm a lot more relaxed than I was with Flo. I don't know if that is because I've done it before and I kind of know.
I think that's what it is. You are so relaxed.
I do feel a lot more relaxed this time round, and I feel like probably with her I was a bit uptight, especially in those first few weeks. I feel like this time round I'd relax more. It's not that I regret how I was with her, because I feel like that made me the mum I am, but I feel like I'd relax more. I'm not gonna worry about holding her too much, I didn't worry about holding her too much. I held her all the time. Like, she took all her naps on me for the first few months, really. And like, it's not that I regret that, because I don't at all, but I feel like I kind of then got like grasped into thinking that I should be putting her down and I should be like making her be more independent, whereas this time around I'm just gonna let go of all of those things. It's like I kind of had them in my head but I didn't really take them on, but I'm just gonna let go of anyone saying that I should do anything. Like, this time around as well, I just want to do what feels right for me.
I'm sure every mum is like that. Like, you know, when you have your first one, like you said, you are literally going into it blind. You have no idea what's happening. So you have this little newborn and then you think, oh my God, their life is so precious. If I don't do everything perfectly, God knows what's going to happen. And everyone gives you advice and everyone gives you these little details. And like, even my own mum and your own mum will tell us, you should do this, you should do that, because that's what they did. And you have so much bombarded at you that you are so panicked. Like you said, you're so panicked and worried. Am I doing everything right? Is this going to hurt my baby? Like,
yeah, I feel like it's such a good point what you just said about everyone wants to give you advice. And I feel like the first time round, obviously, you don't know what having a baby is like. You're just like, you're handed this baby and then it's your job to just keep them alive and keep them happy. And you don't really know what to do. So you kind of like listen to all this advice. Whereas I feel like this time round, I'll be a bit better at just being able to block it out and just... you know, I can choose exactly what I do with my baby and I can feel confident in those decisions because I'm their mum.
Yeah. Because also, Anna, you've got a year and a half experience. It's almost like, imagine if this was like a working job, like an office job. You've you've got a year and a half under your belt. So like you actually do know what you're talking about. Do you know what I mean? Like you.
I mean, I still feel like I'm just like winging it, but I know you get what I mean. Just in, you just feel so much more confident in your choices. And I feel like the second time round, I'll just start off hopefully by feeling more confident because I just need to trust in that I'm doing what feels right at the time for me and them.
Yeah. This next question is one we always finish on. So, Anna, I'm getting a bit emotional here because we've never answered this before, but it's time for us to answer the famous question. We always ask our guests for one piece of advice that they would give to other mums. So what is our advice? Anna, you go first.
So I think the bit of advice someone gave me when Flo was a newborn that I still use now, to be honest, is if they're upset, if they're unsettled, just get outside or get them in water. So I feel like that has just been something that I've always done. Like, you know, those days where just everything is a bit too much, they won't stop crying, but they're fed, they're changed, like you can't work out what's wrong and they just won't settle. Just either getting outside, getting some fresh air, going for a walk, or just putting them in the bath. It always just seems to calm her down. I mean, I do the getting outside more now and the bath a bit less because I just tend to bath her in the evenings.
We're at bath at all times.
But they really, really help. Just they're things that I have found definitely just really settle her. And it like settles me too, you know, when just everything's a bit too much, just getting outside, getting a different perspective and just a change of scenery. So yeah, I think that's my advice. Get outside or get them in water. What about you, Daisy? What's your advice that you'd give to our listeners?
Okay, no pressure, but I would say be grateful because it's so easy, and I find myself doing this all the time. It's so easy to just get caught up in the everyday moments that we talked about all episode long, you know, when it's stressful and they're having tantrums and you're worrying about this and that, and I'll find myself worrying about work and financial stuff and all the stupid things that life can throw at you on a day-to-day basis. But I do have these moments every single day when I realize it, where you realize how incredible your life is as it is, and the fact that you've got this child that is yours is just, there's nothing better in this world. So I always want to remind myself, just be grateful for what you have. Don't wish it away. I also am really driven and like future oriented, and all I ever say is can't wait for this, can't wait for that, you know, all like having a house and having another child and having this and that. Actually, just be grateful for what you have. A lot of the time people will live for Friday or live for like Saturday, and it's kind of like that. It's like on a Monday morning when I'm getting ready for work and I'm stressed and Savannah's running around screaming, even then it's like, no, take a moment and just think, actually look how lucky I am, I have a beautiful baby running around, and I'm also lucky me, I have a job, lucky me, I have a home, like all that, those little things. It's just taking the time to remember how lucky we are.
Definitely. And those little moments with them, you know, like just the little everyday things, like just sat with them having a cuddle, reading them a book, the little moments, they're not little. Right, on to the dads. First question, Charlie, this one's for you. Did you find it hard to get the bond before you met your baby? Someone else also asked if you had trouble connecting with your baby once they were born. So let's do those two questions together.
Okay. I think ultimately you're always going to find it quite hard when the baby's not actually here, because we're not obviously carrying the baby and we don't have the kind of like the opportunity to experience that. So it is a bit difficult, but obviously we're quite a big part of the journey. And all we can do is kind of like offer our support before the baby's here. But I think when I arrived, that's when you kind of get that instant connection. It was kind of surreal when it happened. And unless you are actually a dad, it's just so hard to describe.
Yeah, Charlie, I agree with that.
Yeah, the first feeling when you meet your own child is just crazy.
So you can't really explain it, can you?
No, and it's like, it's one of those things where I just wasn't expecting it. I just wasn't expecting it to be kind of like that instant connection, but you just do. Yeah, so it's a lot easier to connect now she's older, because she's obviously doing a lot more now.
Okay, you can answer the next one, Max. So what was the best advice that you would give a first-time dad?
The best advice. So many to give. I think the main advice I'd give really is to just embrace your new baby, I guess. You have to take it as it comes, be patient, and just, I think, embracing the new life and just, you know, accepting the fact that, well, in my case, you know, we had little time to actually embrace the whole parenthood, motherhood side of things. So in my opinion, if you just sort of accepted the fact that you're going to have a baby now,
life's going to change. Life,
exactly. Life will change. Regardless of your situation financially or how old you are, etc., it will make things easier. So that's probably the first big and major step. Pretty much me.
I think that's a really good point. Just to jump in, because for us, like, I didn't realize that, yeah, you have a baby and your life is about to change in that way, but also, like, everything about your life changes because you have to start thinking about the future. You have to start,
literally everything.
It's like life gets really serious all of a sudden. I don't know if you guys felt the same.
And it's not just like personal things in life. It's the way you see your friends. You see your friends differently. Yeah. Your family see you differently. You go to work and you might have a different, you know, goal in mind. Everything you do, even when you go to the toilet, is different. You go, you have no more peace. It's just, you know, it's a whole new beginning. So I guess embracing it is the best way to come about it.
Very nice.
Yeah, I also just wanted to touch upon the friends thing. Like, I think it's very important that, like, you do just keep in touch with your friends because it's such a whirlwind.
100%.
You just get caught up in, obviously, having a newborn, and you're in your own little world and your own bubble.
Absolutely, John. You almost forget that you still have to have a social life.
Yeah, keeping in touch with your friends, even if it's like friends that don't have kids and kind of don't really understand what's like, it's still important to keep in touch and see them and stuff, because sometimes, you know, that's what you need. So.
Absolutely. A little break from reality can't do any harm.
Yeah, yeah. Nice to talk about things which aren't just baby related when I guess so much of home life, like, it is important to have me and you time as well, but especially with COVID, it's
absolutely
like we've all been in and on top of each other and not being able to have as much help or people come round and look after Flo so we could go and do things and stuff. So obviously, like, your home life is, you know, me and Flo all the time, so I think that's a good point that it's important to just get out and be with your friends and just still be you.
Definitely.
Next question, why don't you both answer this one? So what was the hardest thing watching your partner cope with becoming a mama? Max, why don't you go first?
Okay, I think for me, the hardest thing was, you know, being in a fairly new relationship with Daisy and our sort of romance just starting. Oh, romance. just beginning. It was quite hard to sort of see Daisy transition or almost accept the fact that here we are, we're going to be, or at least she's going to be a new mother. And we've just started a relationship. We're just about planning to do, you know, holidays and whatever we can think of. The last thing we had in mind was we're going to have a baby. So I think seeing Daisy, you know, accept it and, again, embrace it. I keep saying embrace, but I genuinely think that's, like, the most important thing. Because if your mindset is, you know, towards embracing it and being happy and just being there, really, then everything else will just follow suit.
Yeah.
So I think seeing Daisy, you know, being a fairly young mother, take this on and still carry on with her job and still being Daisy is, you know, it's been really nice. And I couldn't really fault Daisy for anything that she's done because, you know, so far so good. And, you know, we argue here and there, but arguments are natural. It can only happen to the best of us. So, yeah, I mean, look, how old were you? 23? 24 when you had the baby.
No, 23 when I had her.
I was right, guys. I was right.
22 when I was pregnant as well. So
22 when you were pregnant. So, you know, when babies are not in the picture. So.
Yeah, we were having so much fun when we met, weren't
exactly.
we? We had so much left to do.
You guys were about to move as well, weren't you? You were going to move.
Well, we were, yeah. We had a one-bedroom flat in place, everything like that.
Yeah,
so
we had
the mindset wasn't quite there. So when it came all of a sudden, you know, either you run 1,000 miles.
Yeah, we ran away from each other.
Or you face the truth and you know, do it together. So, yeah, I think Daisy took it really well.
High five.
Yeah, good answer.
Charlie, what about you? What do you find hard about watching me cope with when I became a mum?
I think the main thing was watching yourself, like, the watching you doubt yourself obviously things that are completely new to you, and you're still like, we're both learning and experiencing being parents, and yet you kind of sometimes expect yourself to know exactly what to do, or you know, cater to Flo's needs, when really she's her own individual and we're just kind of like learning around her.
Yeah.
And I think you would doubt yourself and get a little bit down about stuff that you had no control over, really.
Yeah, I think that's like really fair enough. I feel like, yeah, I mean, I think that's a bit of an understatement, that I doubted myself and felt down. Like, I found those first few weeks, like months even, just so hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I've said it before, but like, I went to all the classes, read all the books, but like nothing prepares you. And I just think, like, when your baby is unsettled and crying, and like Flo was a very unsettled baby, like she had severe reflux, and she just, like, it was hard at the beginning. Yeah. It was really hard. And I feel like no one figures it out other than you. Like, you just have to like work out what works for them, and you kind of have to work it out yourself. It doesn't matter how much advice you get given or how many books you read. And I think it's just really hard when you're both adapting to it, and just like, it's the most incredible thing, but I don't think I ever really realized like just how hard it would be. I think I kind of naively was like, oh, she'll just fit into my life. Yeah. When really then everything just ended up revolving around her. But yeah, I think I definitely found it hard for the first few weeks.
But there's also no kind of like wrong or right way either. It's just there is just a way that you just kind of like work out, don't you? And that's just how it is, really. You don't, there's no like right path to choose, or you know, no right or wrong decisions that you make. They are just decisions, or they are just actions that you put into place to do the best for your child, really.
I think probably like with the breastfeeding as well, I don't know if you found that, like, you found that hard, because I found that really hard. And I
found breastfeeding hard. It was really hard.
No. If you found it hard dealing with how I was with that, like just the emotional toll, I just had no idea that it would have such an emotional effect on me. Like, it was something I really wanted to do, and I just imagined I'd be able to do it. And I think I found that really hard to deal with, and then also really hard after. Like, even then, when I moved on to bottle feeding, I think I still dealt with it.
Yeah, you still had a lot of regret about it. When I look at it from the outside, and I knew at that time, like, you made the best decision, even though you still have regret about it. I remember what you was like when you were breastfeeding, and how difficult it was, and how that was having an emotional toll on you, and it was definitely the best decision for us at that moment in time. So
yeah, definitely.
So this can be for both of you. So what was the hardest part of transitioning to fatherhood for you? Max, you can go first.
Me again.
It's all about you, honey.
Okay. Personally, I think the hardest part was a bit like what Charlie said, the moment you're in a hospital and it's happening, it's almost like, oh my God, it's happening, and there's no going back. So from that moment on, it's the responsibility that just goes through your mind. Like, it is a human being that you've just not conceived, but you know what I'm saying?
It's
my responsibility. So I think, I wouldn't say it's a hard part, because, you know, I'm pretty sure Charlie's the same in terms of the way I am as a person. I'm quite a positive person. So it's more of a, how are we going to make this work? And how can I make sure that this little human can have the sort of best life possible, you know, without sort of overdoing it and overkilling myself in the meantime. So I guess the hardest part of transitioning to fatherhood would be
that sudden pressure that you feel.
It's just the pressure. I guess it is the pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I keep saying the same thing, but embracing the fact that you're going to be a father and you're starting your life is like the main thing. You just have to be willing, and everything else will just follow. I keep saying the same thing, but honestly, I feel like it's the best way to go about it.
No.
And so I wouldn't say there's any particular hard part. Everything is hard about being a father or a
it's
mother.
It's a big deal.
It is a massive deal. And if you want to make it work, you got to do everything you got to do. Stay positive.
I also think a big thing is, like you guys touched on, sorry to jump in, but like a big part is keeping that bond with your partner, because if you could, we could have literally fallen apart.
100%,
like, no, you have 100%. To have each other. You have to have each other's backs through everything. So it's hard, but if you've got each other, it makes it so much easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? You, sort of going back to the point of staying in touch with your friends, etc., it is very easy to lose track of life, I guess, and just being so focused on the family side of things. So, you know, accepting that, you know, maybe, and I'm not saying that this is what I want to do, but maybe the whole Ibiza holiday is out of the picture. Again, not the end of the world, but I guess that's a part of being a father and a young mother, or a new father and mother. So is it a hard part of life? Not really, because, you know, we can still go on holiday and everything. But yeah, so that's pretty much how I'd answer that question, really.
That was great. Charlie, what about you?
The main thing for me is really, like, because I'm self-employed, was basically just balancing my work and life schedule. So, like, getting into a routine that kind of, like, fitted me, but also before, I never really used to have to think about, like, what time I'd have to be home, or if I book a client in here, book a client in there. But now, like, it's always at the forefront of my mind of making sure that I am kind of like as home as much as I can be to be with Flo, because that's what I want to do. It's kind of like,
so true.
You've also got Anna pregnant as well, so I guess you've got extra. You've got that extra worry of, like, is Anna okay at home?
To give Anna some help.
I said half time, so he needs to be back, especially when there's like two of them, because I don't even know if I'm gonna be bathing two at once.
Yeah.
And also, like, I want to be home as much as I can be. But it's been tough to, like, not feel. I suppose it is a little bit of pressure to be at home, but also to try and make the most out of my own time management skills and stuff like that, because I'm not the best at it naturally. So I've had to really, like, try and work on that to basically make sure that I can be at home as much as I can be, but also develop my own, you know, develop my business and try and keep working hard at my business to get it to where I want it to be. But because they go both hand in hand, obviously, with wanting to provide for my family and stuff like that. So
I think that's the hard thing with being self-employed is, like, the hours, just there's no cut off time. It's kind of, it's like how you said, you have to manage your time, and then especially with a baby at home, it's just maximizing that to be around as much as possible, and, like, trying to not work on weekends where you can and things.
Yeah, I've been good with that, actually.
Yeah, no,
I only work weekends when I really have to, but I kind of, like, in my head I set that aside to being like, right, that's family time. So
you know what, Charlie? That's the mindset that I keep talking about. It's like you want to be part of it. It's not like you're making sacrifices. In a way, you are, but it's benefiting both yourself, your business, and your baby. So that's I think I could share that.
Thanks. Well.
Love that. Oh, guys, thank you so much.
You guys are naturals.
I think we should start our own one, Charlie.
Yeah, Anna, the whole season should have been all four of us. What were we thinking?
You guys can go watch the football now. Thank you very much for our questions. We hope.
What are we going to do? I'm Charlie. I'm Maxi.
No, you don't get your own intro. That was it. Okay. Right. Here we are, guys. We're at the end of the season. Oh my God.
I can't believe it. I literally can't believe this is episode 20. We've had such an amazing time recording with you guys. We hope you've loved listening as much as we've loved making this podcast for you.
We've also made some amazing relationships and friendships with the mums that we've had on here, haven't we? And our listeners. Like, we've had 19, I think, or about maybe 18, 17 different mums on here, which is incredible. And they've all told us stories and taught us things with every episode that they were on, so that's been incredible as well.
No, 100%, it really, really has been. And yeah, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for every time you've told, like, one of your mum friends about it, or every like or share on Instagram. It's honestly meant the world, and we can't wait to come back with season 2. We're gonna have a little break, because obviously I am due in 10 weeks time, which is mental. Like any time from, 7 weeks time, I'll be full term. So any time from 7 weeks
pack that bag.
To 4 weeks, yeah, the baby will be here. So we're going to have a little break. Going to enjoy newborn life for a little bit, but then we will be back with season two, and we've got some exciting plans for the next season, don't we, Daisy?
We do. We also, yeah, we have so many plans, and we also already have loads of guests who we are talking to and figuring things out with, so it's literally going to be just as good, if not better, as this season, and hopefully you guys will all come back and continue to listen. But we have loved it so much. So the last time, a massive, massive thank you to everyone. It's meant so much to us, and it's really emotional. I feel weird. We're about to sign off for the last time.
I know. Keep in touch with us on Instagram. You can always DM us, email us. We're going to stay active on Instagram, keep you updated with news. We'll let you know as soon as we're back. But thank you again.
We'll be back soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed the episode.
If you're not already, make sure you're following us on Instagram. Our username is Becoming Mama Pod. And also, we would love to hear from you and hear your story. If you'd like to be a guest, email becomingmamapod@gmail.com.
You can also find the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you so much, guys.
Talk to you soon.